the name of the Lord. I didn't get the mic back there, Margaret, but that's okay. I'll just use this one here. Praise the Lord. Well, it's kind of funny because the title to my sermon today is Thanksgiving is Every Day. Sometimes we want to make it one time a year, but it should be 365 times a year. And should be every day and all day long. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. Pour yourself through these words that you've given me today. I ask you to just minister to your people. We just love them. I thank you for keeping them all safe and all healthy. And I thank you that this virus has not touched their lives that much. And I believe that you're going to continue to keep them safe. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For you alone are worthy of it all. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. In Isaiah 51, 1 through 3, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness." And you know what? I think we all should be following after righteousness. So that takes us all in. Because, you know, he's the righteous, and we get the righteousness from our relationship with God. Because he imparted a righteousness unto us. And it's not something that we have to earn or something that we did to make it happen, but other than our relationship with him, you know. It says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." And you know, Rich was talking about Abraham back there some, you know, and he mentioned that, you know, Abram's name was Abram before he had his heavy encounter with God. And after he had his heavy encounter with God, God changed his name. And you know, the neat thing about it is that anytime you have an encounter with God, there's a change that takes place. And I got news for you. The more encounters you have, the more changes that take place. And can you imagine, his name was Abram, which meant high father. And when he had his encounter with God, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Now, this is a man with no children. You think God don't have a sense of humor sometimes? And, you know, to change somebody's name to father of a multitude, and he didn't have any children, you know. But you know what? Like I said to you last week, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He knows exactly what he's got in store for you. And you might not know it all yet, but you're going to. And he's going to begin to reveal it to you more and more as the days go on, exactly what his plans and purposes for you are. And, you know, a lot of times the main purpose he wants is for you to fellowship with him. Because if you fellowship with him and you get to be one with him, then you're going to be one with everybody else. You're going to be one with your brothers and your sisters. And sometimes it's hard to get one with your brothers and sisters. You know, I don't know about you all, but I know when I was a kid, me and Wally, we fought a lot. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He was older and bigger than me, so he didn't really fight me like he could have. You know, he'd just pester me, and then I'd get mad enough to go after him, and then he'd run off because he didn't want to hurt me, I think. But you know, a lot of times the hardest people to get one with is your brothers and your sisters. But I tell you what, if we get one with God, we'll be one with each other. And that's where we need to be one with first, is with God. And we need to realize that that's his whole purpose in life, is to bring us into that oneness. You know, we were talking about before, and I've said this in Sunday school, and I said it back there, and I've said it many a times over the years. But, you know, a lot of times people will say, my spirit and his spirit, you know. And we were talking about that back there. There's only one spirit. You don't believe me, read Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It'll tell you that there's one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's above us all, in us all. You know, And that's what God's all about. He wants us to be one. Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one, you and me and them. And basically what he was saying then is then the world will believe. The world's not going to believe until the Christians, some of the brothers and sisters get together and become one with the Lord, so one with the Lord that when they see you, they will see him. That's going to happen, and it's in the process of happening. I believe that. You know, and I believe it's a lot closer than we think sometimes, you know. But anyway, he talked about Abraham here. Abraham, which was your father, and we used to teach the kids. I bet Joey remembers when she was a kid singing this song about Father Abraham. And all them kids would sing something about Father Abraham. I don't know exact words. I know you all know it because they were all kids back then, you know. But you know, he is the father of faith. And you know what? We have to have that same attitude that he had. And that attitude was he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. Now, you know, Abraham was not a perfect man in the sense of what we would call perfect today. You know what I mean? Because he believed God, but he also took on another woman to try to have children, to try to fulfill God's promises. And the Jews have been paying a debt for that down through the centuries. Because, you know, some of the biggest problems they've had has been with when Abraham tried to fulfill God's purposes and plan. But I want to tell you what, and Sarah, you know, I love Sarah. Her name was, I believe you called it Sarai before, Sarai. And Sarai, you know, became Sarah, and Sarah means princess. And, you know, when she heard the angel of the Lord talking, that she was going to have a child. You know, this time next year I'll come and you'll have a child. You know, she was 90 years old. And I don't see too many women 90 years old having babies. But I will tell you this, Sarah had to have some kind of a relationship with the Lord because Abraham and them would a lot of times keep their women away from the other kings around because they were such beautiful women. And sometimes you'll see a 90-year-old lady who's just beautiful, you know. But most of us, when we get 90, 80, 90, we don't quite look as good as we did when we were a little younger. But, you know, I love that because when she heard that the angel of the Lord basically said that, you know, that in another year she would have a son. And, have a child or son, whatever. And it was kind of funny because she laughed. And God said to her, did you laugh? No, I didn't laugh. You know, she lied because she did. She laughed. But you know what? It's okay to laugh sometimes at the things God tells you because it should bring joy to your heart in that. And you know, that nature of Sarah has to be in all of us to where we want to see the children of God birthed into the reality of who and what they really are in Christ, you know. And, buddy, out there in the religious system today, a lot of them have had an experience with the Lord, but they've not totally been birthed into total reality of who they are and what they are. And we need to pray that God use us in whatever way he can to help bring them into that knowledge, you know. But anyway, it says here, and says, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her deserts like a garden. And the Lord, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And I'm going to tell you what, Zion is not a place, it's a people. And when he talks about the Lord will comfort Zion, he wants to comfort you. He wants you to know that he's got it all in control. You don't have to worry about all this stuff out. I mean, you know, right now there's things going on, you know, that people are worrying about this and worrying about that. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just trust the Lord and just rest in Him. He's got it, you know. He's got it all in control. He knows exactly what's going to come out of all this, even this corona thing. You know, this has been a tough situation for a lot of people. But you know what? God knows all about these things. And I tell you, when the time's right, this thing will go away. It'll go away. But I tell you what, it will bring a lot of people closer to the Lord before it's all over with. And I don't care what happens, God always gets glory out of it somehow, you know. But I like that. It says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, and He will comfort all of her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her deserts like the garden of the Lord. And joy and gladness shall be found therein, and thanksgiving in the voice of melody. And you know what? A lot of times right now, a lot of people are kind of in rough situations. It's kind of funny because Mark sent me a text message this morning that had a little video on it. And one of the customers that we used to have down at the shop, they found out that their accountant or lady accountant that worked in the office had been stealing money from them for years, and they'd been having to let people go. And they actually didn't find out until it got so bad that they had to let her go, you know. And then when they let her go, they found out she'd stole $2 million over the years. So that's a lot of money, you know. And you know what? That cost a lot of people their jobs because they didn't, instead of them having $2 million in their coffers, you know, to keep people working and stuff like that during the midst when things are slow like this, they ended up having to let a lot of people go. And you know, a lot of times it just seems like you get hit with thing after thing after thing sometimes. But I'm going to tell you what, God wants us, if we'll trust Him, He'll make the wilderness turn into Eden. He'll make the desert places turn into a garden. But you got to trust Him. If you don't trust Him, it's not going to happen. You know, you'll look at the dryness around and you'll think, oh my God, this is awful. This is terrible. This is, you know, and you'll go on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you what, He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to look to Him. And then He will make it like a garden. It'll become a beautiful place. And a lot of times those places, after you go through them, they become, you learn lessons in there that you couldn't learn no other way, you know. But anyway, it said, a joy and gladness shall be found therein, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And you know, if there was a lot of songs sung here this morning about praise. That is the biggest secret to walking in victory in Christ, is to be a praising people, to praise Him, because Scripture says He inhabits the praises of His saints. And you know, you can't grumble and complain when you're praising. It don't work. It don't work. You know, you ever start singing God will give you a song, a certain song, and you just can't get it out of your head, and you just sing it and sing it and sing it. And you know what? It just ministers to your heart so good. And it's hard to grumble and complain when the joy of the Lord comes in there, you know. But there's a real key to that. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is in Christ Jesus? I just told you. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice whether you feel like rejoicing or not. Sing whether you feel like singing or not. Pray whether you feel like praying or not. You know, in everything, give Him thanks. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've had people say, well, Oscar, you mean when bad stuff happens, I should thank the Lord and I should praise Him and all this? You praise Him in spite of that, not because of that, but in spite of that. And it says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who who will also do it. And you know who's going to do it? He is. He is. That's what it says right there. So you know what you need to do? You need to kick back, kind of chill and relax. That's what you need to do. You need to quit struggling and worrying and fussing and carrying on. Kick back and relax and say, God, you got this thing. I know it's all in control. I don't have to worry about all this stuff. I don't even have to understand what's happening. You don't have to understand things. You know, I've said this before. I go out and get in my car, and I stick the key in the ignition. I turn the ignition, and you know what? I know it's going to start. I don't have to know all the inner workings of everything in there, because I used to be able to work on cars. But when they started getting real technical with them, I kind of fell by the wayside because I didn't stay up with it. You know, me and my brother used to drag race, so we would build our own engines and stuff. But a lot of this stuff on these cars now, you got electrical controlling this and something controlling that and something else controlling something else. I don't know anything about that stuff, you know. But you know what? I don't go out there every day and stand there and fret and think, oh, my God, I just wonder if it's going to start. Maybe it might not start today. Oh, I can't. Maybe I won't get to work. Maybe this, maybe that. I go out there, I stick the key in the ignition, and I just relax. Turn it on and go, you know. And that's what we need to do in the Lord. We need to quit letting everything beat us up. Quit letting everything drag us down. You know, abstain from all appearance of evil. And you know what most of the appearance of evil that we're going to have to deal with is this old carnal mind that tries to jump in here, the duality of thinking. Because they were talking about that back there in Sunday school. You know, Rich was talking about the four kings back in Genesis, you know, and he was bringing the definition of those words a lot, which was really talking about attitudes and motivations and accusers of the brethren and all that kind of stuff. You know what? You don't have to worry about all that. You're a child of the Most High King. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. If you'll just trust God, you'll be okay. Everything will be fine, you know. Now, I'm going to read you another scripture here, and this is Psalm 7:17. It says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. Not according to my righteousness, but according to his righteousness. And I will sing praise to the name of the Most High. You know, the Most High is the word for El Elyon. That's the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And you know who that is? That's Jesus. He had it all. You know, when Moses was up on the mountain and he saw that bush burning up there, what did God tell him? He said, I am that I am. Yes. And when he told him to go to Pharaoh, he said, tell him I am that sent me. He said, and you know what I am is? In the vernacular of English, what it would be? It would be a present tense word right now. Because when something is right now, which I am, if I say I am standing up here talking to you, that means right now, present tense, I'm talking to you. And you know, that's why I believe he said that. I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. That's what that really would, you know what I mean? And what he was really telling them is, I'm there. I got this thing. You don't have to worry about it. But they didn't totally understand that at that point. And I will sing praises to the name of the Most High God. Now I want you to listen to this. And this is kind of like a prophetic word. And I want you to listen to this very closely. Oh, my people, my chosen ones, I love you with an everlasting love. And with the cords of my faithfulness, I have bound you to myself. I am not a man that I should lie. But all I have promised I will surely do. And so the Father may be glorified in you, that you may bear much fruit. I have promised you my grace in order that you may extend to others love like mine, which flows forth in the face of hostility. When you were an enemy of God, Christ died for you. Calvary's love was given not only for friends, but also for enemies. I want to teach you how to love with Calvary's love. Wow. Remember that I'm in the midst of you when you praise me. Never let any kind of anxiety crowd out your praise. Do not be concerned for my reputation. I have withstood many storms, and I will survive this one. Human strivings are like the water that tried to hit the rock of Gibraltar. Over the centuries, it kept hitting the rock of Gibraltar. You know, the rock of Gibraltar is still there. It ain't went nowhere. And that's and that rock that Christ is in you, it ain't going nowhere. I don't care how many storms come, how much waves hit you. I don't care what happens. It's not going nowhere. Okay? And it says, they have beat upon the rock, but they have not changed it. I am not disturbed, and I forbid you to be anxious. For anxiety produces tension, and tension erodes joy. And when joy is gone, victory is lost. Faith is weakened, and spontaneity is destroyed. The spirit falls ill. The salt has lost its flavor. Its savor is a savor. Two different words here. Savor for like tasting, and it's a savor. Savor, S-A-V-E-R. It's a savor. You are a savor. You know, Scripture says, he says, I saw saviors standing upon Mount Zion. And you know who that is? That's you when you ascend up into the hill of the Lord. So you when you ascend up into his heights. You become the saviors of the world also. Rich was talking about back there, as he is in this world, so are we. You know, that's who you are. You're the salt. He said if salt's lost its savor, it's of no use to be cast out into the thing. But you're the salt of the world. And it's kind of funny when you think about it. We don't kind of understand this nowadays. But you know, back years and years ago, to preserve meat, you know what they packed it in? Salt. Because salt will preserve things. And you know, we need to be a savor of the people that we come in contact with. And you know partially how you do that? By not laying anything to their charge. By forgiving them. By not saying bad things about them, but speaking life into them. And even when you see somebody who's meaner than a snake, and there's some people out there that's meaner than a snake, even when you run across people like that, you need to pray for them. And even if you aren't praying for them at that moment, you need to go away and say, oh, God, bless that brother or that sister. Minister to their hearts. You know, whatever their need happens to be, minister to that need, you know. And you know what? He will. It says, what can I use to preserve my work in your midst if you lose your joy? Wow. You know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago, and it goes like this. I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to give you a greater knowledge of me, and to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my gladness will remain and my joy will abide. When those about you would grumble and complain, if you will but praise me, then my joy will reign. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. And I just want you to know, you have a river. You know, we should sing that song. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. And you know, that's exactly what he said. You have a well inside of you that's going to spring up into eternal life. And it's going to flow out to everyone you come in contact with. If you don't let the joy in your life be taken away, if you don't let the praise be taken away, you know, it says, rejoice always, said the Apostle Paul. And again, I say rejoice. Let your stability be apparent to all, for truly the coming of the Lord is near. And you know what says the coming of the Lord is near? I'm going to tell you what. The coming of the Lord is a perpetual thing. He's coming to you more and more and more each and every day. The coming of the Lord is going to come until the day star arise in your heart with the fullness and that glory that was seen in Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration breaks forth from the inside of you, and people see that same glory. Because know you not that you're the temple of God. And if you're the temple of God, then guess where the Shekinah glory dwells? Inside of you. But we have to acknowledge that presence, and we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, enter his courts with praise. You know, I'll say this is the day that the Lord has made. Do we say that every day? Do we say that when everything's going, seems to be going wrong, when it's getting aggravating, when we're getting upset about this or that? Do we say, this is the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and do what? And be glad in it. And let's ask the Lord, Lord, let that oil of gladness flow over my head, run down over my beard, all the way down to the soles of my feet, to where I walk in the gladness and the joy. You know, Jesus says he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. In other words, he was anointed with the oil of gladness greater than anybody ever had been. But I'm going to tell you what, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. And that same joy will rise up in you as you acknowledge it. Praise God. Rejoice always, said the Apostle Paul. And again, I say rejoice. Let your stability be apparent to all. For truly, the coming of the Lord is near. Prepare yourselves and be strong for it. The Lord who upholds you, and it is he who gives you the victory. Sing, my children, and let the shout of praise be heard. For the Lord is mighty and his name is glorious. You know, last week, this was at the end of my sermon last week, I had this written down. It says, by his own sovereign choice, he chose us and set his love upon us. He did it all together apart from any goodness in us at the time or any goodness which he foresaw in us. He had mercy on whom he would have mercy, and he ordained and chosen company unto eternal life. Thus, therefore, we are his unconstrained election. Unconstrained. You know, there's a lot of things in life that try to constrain you. You have a lot of things. I mean, when you go to a job, you got to be there a certain amount of hours. You know, you got to do certain functions or whatever. But let me tell you what, in God, he wants to unconstrain you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to be able to flow and to move in him under his anointing. And I believe we're coming to a day when it's going to get so great. I believe that, you know, after the day of Pentecost, God did some wonderful things. And there was some mighty, mighty moves of God. And there's been some mighty moves of God down through the centuries where the Lord has moved very, very strongly. You know, I'm trying to think of the place out there in California, Azusa Street. There was just tremendous, tremendous miracles happened back then. But that wasn't even scratching the surface what God's going to do. That wasn't even scratching the surface. They said that one minister used to put a bag over his head because he'd just wait on the Lord. He didn't know what to do. You know what? The glory was so great, he didn't know what to do. And God would show up and people would get healed and all kinds of things would happen. And it's not about the miracles happening. The miracles are wonderful. But let me tell you about, it's about the relationship that you have with God. That's what really matters. You know, Scripture says, by their fruits shall you know them. When people show each other love and mercy and forgiveness and all that, that's when you'll know that they really are moving and flowing in God. It's not always just the miracles happening. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come a time when the miracles are going to flow like they've never flowed before. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Why? Because I return to the Father. And you know, he said he'd send the Comforter, and you know who the Comforter is? It's him. He comes back to comfort you inside of you. But he couldn't relate that to them exactly at that point, because it was hard for them to understand that he was going to be in them when he was standing there in front of them. But let me tell you what, they came to that realization before it was all over with. And what a tremendous revelation that was. You know, I read you something last week, and I'm going to read this again. It says, not only by his choice, but by his purchase did he do these things. You know, he chose you before the foundation of the world, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm going to tell you what, you've been chosen. You didn't choose him, he chose you. And when he chose you, he brought you to a place where you find, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord dealt with me when I was pretty young. I mean, you know, he did. When I was just a teenager, he dealt with me, and he showed me doing what I'm doing today, you know. And I thought, man, that ain't me. That ain't going to happen. That ain't me. I ain't going to do that. Guess what? I'm doing it. That's right. And it ain't because I didn't choose to do it. He chose me to do it. And then you know what? After a while, you start choosing him. You start choosing whatever he wants you to do, because that's what really counts. And I read you that scripture last week, and I was talking about being ordained. And I'm going to read you, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I love that word ordained, and I looked up that word ordained, and this is what it said. It says, to prepare before, to make ready beforehand. It says, for whom he appointed glory beforehand from eternity. Accordingly, rendered them fit to receive it. Quit telling yourself, I'm not worthy. Quit telling yourself, I'm not fit. You're not fit because of what you did. You're fit because of what he did. You're fit because of him who dwells inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. You're more than a conqueror in any situation. You and the Lord are a majority. I don't care what's happening or what's going on. You and him are a majority. And I want you to know, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Every day we need to praise him. We need to thank him. We need to sing songs to him or whatever. We need to just acknowledge him in all of our ways. And as we acknowledge him, we'll find out that that life in us will grow greater and greater and greater. That's all I really had to share with you today. But I want you to realize that as we go through our Thanksgiving this year, it's going to be a little strange, you know, because we can't necessarily have all of our family and friends over like we did in the past, you know, and stuff. But I just want you to know God's in control.
Yes, he is.
And the real Thanksgiving is a daily thing. And it's a moment-by-moment thing. If you just give him thanks, you know, there's so many things that we could be thankful for. So many things. A lot more things to be thankful for than there is to not be thankful for, you know. And it's not all about things, but it's about relationship. And if we're thankful for that relationship that we have with him, I'm thankful that I met Margaret when I did, you know. I mean, you know. We blew past the norm, you know. We were 14 when we met, you know. We started going steady at 14. But I never wanted anybody but her. And I know she never wanted anybody but me. She probably won't tell you that. Watch her. She's going like this back there. We went through the whole kitty thing of sitting on the phone, breathing at each other for hours at a time sometimes, all that stuff. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. Wouldn't trade it for anything. And you know, it was kind of funny because, and I'll say this because those guys are here and I hope I won't embarrass them, but Mark and Joey are similar to in that same situation. I remember when teaching children's church, and I'd watch Joey when Mark would be in there, and I could just see her light up. And she knows it's the truth. I could just see her light up. And you could tell it was mutual. And she was younger than him. And I basically, I tell you, when they came over to the house, she'd come over to the house sometimes. Boy, I chaperoned the heck out of him because she was a lot younger than he was, you know. But you know what? They got a beautiful relationship, a bunch of beautiful kids. And don't think that because somebody's young that they can't love somebody. Because I tell you what, when God sends the right one your way, you know it's the right one. You don't have to be told, well, maybe this is the one. You know it's the one. When you'd rather be with that person than anybody else and spend time with them rather than anybody else, that's the right one. But anyway, if y'all stand, but that's a relationship he wants us to have with him, that we're want to spend time with him. All right, we'll close in a word of prayer. Even if you had a song, Cynthia, if you do, you can play it, or if you don't feel anything, that's okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life, and I ask you to just help us to have that thankful heart and just move in the thanksgiving, the praise, and just the joy of the Lord. It's our strength, Lord. You said it's our strength. And you know, that poem you gave me about gladness, you know, you want that river to spring up within us and flow out to mankind. And it's going to do that as we prime the pump sometimes, even with praising and worshiping and singing to you sometimes, you know, let that joy rise up in your heart. And you know, it's kind of funny because even the little dish detergent that they used to call joy, all you had to do was drop a couple drops of that in the water. And it made all kind of suds. And it did a lot of cleaning up. And you know, when you drop a little bit of the joy of the Lord in this situation, watch and see what happens. It'll create a lot of spiritual bubbles and a lot of cleansing power and a lot of changes will take place. But Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to bless your people. Let them have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Just keep them all safe. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor because you alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you all.